Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Mahan. Dr. Ava is a gifted attorney, researcher, lecturer, and author of 5 books. She received her Juris Doctorate from Georgetown University in Washington, D.C., and is a member of the New York Bar Association. Dr. Ava has been featured in Essence magazine many times and was named by Essence as being one of America's most powerful black women. Join Dr. Ava every Thursday evening on Elevated Places, where you will hear a message that will provide you with the tools needed to repair and uplift the spirit, moral character, and living condition of the black man and woman. Our call-in number is 347-324-5091. Or visit us on our radio show page at blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. And now, here is your host, Dr. Ava Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Welcome once again to Elevated Places. I am your host, Ava Muhammad. And as our announcer and researcher, Brother Bobby Muhammad, you just heard his voice announced, we are indeed on today, January 2nd, 2014, live on blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. We are pleased to be streaming live also on WKBOL 100.1 FM in Waterloo, Iowa. This powerful conscious urban station also carries the Time and What Must Be Done series by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and invites you to hear Torchlight with Brother Michael Muhammad, which airs on Fridays, 11:30 a.m. Central, 12:30 Eastern. And, of course, we are so excited and so grateful in this critical hour of our people's history to have the opportunity to host Elevated Places live every Sunday, 4 p.m. Central, 5 Eastern, on the legendary WVON radio, the Talk of Chicago, 1690 a.m. on your dial if you are in Chicago. But we also stream live, WVON.com, and wherever you are, you can download the iHeart app free on your smartphone or tablet. And finally, don't forget to follow me on Twitter at Dr. Ava Muhammad. And we are also going to talk with you a little later about a survey that we are doing for Elevated Places, and want to thank the participants, the callers, the listeners who make this show a success. And we have been asking you for your views and your input as Elevated Places comes into the end of its third year on the internet radio, and of course a few months on WVON. And your insight is priceless, absolutely priceless. The brilliance and the thoughtfulness behind the comments that we have been getting is very powerful. So we're going to be giving you a link this evening to a survey that we'd like you to take. And, of course, Elevated Places is a forum where we engage in open, intelligent discussion, and we center the conversation around freedom, justice, and equality, and the independence and self-determination for 40-plus million descendants of slaves here in North America and those who have been spread in the diaspora and colonized around the globe. And as always, we invite any and everyone who logs in or participates via phone call to engage in conversation. So here's the phone number, 347-324-5091, 347-324-5091. And I see many calls are a new year with new fresh thinking. And I'm going to bring in very shortly my brilliant co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad, to talk more about tonight's show and about what's going on. And also we will be joined on this array of brilliant minds tonight one who is young in heart, Dr. Ridgely Muhammad, who is our Elevated Places analyst and contributor. Of course, on December the 28th, oh, my God, the long-awaited episode, and it turned out to be part 51, 5 and 1 is 6, which is time. And Minister Louis Farrakhan delivered part 1 of his message, The Wheel, The Wheel. And the subtitle was That Great Mother Plane, Allah's Calling Card. If you did not see and or hear that message, you are not alive. I must tell you that. If you did not hear and or see The Wheel, you're just not alive. I'm sorry to tell you that. But if you're here, if you're in the sound of my voice, you have a chance to be resurrected.
That's right.
And so as soon as this program ends, if you have not heard or seen or both The Wheel, That Great Mother Plane, oh, my God, you have got to. And I'll just say this quickly. The three things he said, the importance of the wheel, relevance of the wheel, and what the wheel represents in terms of the attributes of Allah. So he's going to keep coming until that's done. Dr. Ridgely, Brother Terrence, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
I think I cut one of you off. Go right ahead, because I know it's exciting.
Oh, are you talking about me or Dr. Ridgely shouting out
well,
Happy
somebody,
New Year?
I heard somebody's voice.
Oh, that was Dr. Ridgely.
Brother Terrence, go ahead. That was me acting up.
This is an
I mean, it's a sad time. We know that we're on this calendar. I'm just waiting for the springtime when the new year actually pops in. But just as Minister Farrakhan said, last year, may the blessings of Allah be on you this year, or the grace of Allah be on us, because we hope that it will be a happy new year. But we welcome everybody once again back to Elevated Places for the year. And once again, as Dr. Ava said, we do want to hear your comments and we do want to hear your calls. We want the callers to call in and continue to join us and continue to tweet at Dr. Ava Muhammad, at Dr. Ava Muhammad, so we can hear from you. Very quickly, we have a powerful show tonight, but some of the things that I wanted to talk about as relates to the show, number one, don't forget to watch The Time and What Must Be Done this Saturday, the closing finale show, 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern at NOI.org. So lately, I was trying to figure out what we was going to talk about in the news, but since we have a couple of young people on a phone call, you know, in the world of social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, you know, everybody is on their phone, their droids, or their iPhone, but somebody had reported recently that NSA is automatically at times being able to turn on your camera, turn on your phone without you even knowing it. They have that technology, and even some of the things that you post or pictures that you take and send, since we love Instagram so much, those things can actually track you and where you're sending it from and your address. So as we're engaging and watching youth just go all over social media, the NSA is also, as they call, Big Brother is watching also. And as also we're talking about our young people in the world of hip-hop today, as we hear an increase in the drug culture once again on the radio. At one point it was ecstasy, but now we're talking about popping mollies, which stands for molecular, and it's a stronger and more mixed drug than ecstasy was, and there's an increase of this drug in the community. So we want to make sure that our young people stay away from that, and we want to make sure that people understand that this is being put out there. But I remember the times of Malcolm X in Harlem when the teaching got stronger. They had to make a stronger kind of drug, increase the heroin and the potency of the heroin to put the people to sleep. So know that the Twitter army is fighting strong, and they are capturing the youth. So since we're on Twitter and we're on Facebook, the NSA is watching, and the government put more drugs in our community to make us go to sleep because the knowledge of the 20 Army or the efforts of the 20 Army to get the knowledge of Minister Farrakhan out is causing the consciousness to come back. So they have to work double time to put us back to sleep. But I would say to our enemy, as we watch the time of what must be done, you are now on the East Coast witnessing the power of the one and true and living God as the blizzards are coming through the East Coast. We know it's blizzarding Chicago, Detroit. It's below something 42 degrees and somewhere in the Midwest, and it's getting a hit more on the East Coast. So know that God is the ultimate power. And last but not least, the economicblueprint.org, economicblueprint.org. We know that the minister launched that at the Holy Day of Atonement, and you probably have already made your donation for the year, but guess what? It's 2014, a new year. You can make another donation to the Economic Blueprint. I made mine, so go ahead, follow suit, and just go ahead and make another year's donation to the Economic Blueprint. But as Dr. Ava mentioned, we have powerful guests tonight, and I say powerful because they are not our future, they are our present. Our young people are the people that are leading the struggle and the revolution. As you look at our brother Mandela in South Africa, it was the young people in the revolution of apartheid. And for me being in North Carolina, it was four freshmen at North Carolina A&T that sat in at Woolworth. So it was always about the youth. And when we look at SNCC, we look at CORE, we always looking at the young people to lead the revolution, to lead the fight, as Minister Farrakhan speaks to the hip-hop community and tells them that one of your songs can move more mountains than, you know, 100 preachers, lectures, or however the minister, and I'm paraphrasing what the minister talks about, but we know that our youth are, we say all the time our future, but I really say our youth are our present, and we're going to hear from some powerful young people throughout our nation tonight. So we thank you once again, and I'm turning it right back over to Dr. Ava.
Well, thank you so much, Brother Terrence. Very great opening. Wonderful segue into the young people who are on tonight. And Dr. Ridgely, did you want to make any comments before we bring on our panel?
Well, I just... two things. Number one, the international bankers, the international Jews, have snuck through 2013, which is the 100th anniversary of the Federal Reserve, without them being thrown out the country. So they sneaked through it because they kept the attention on us by killing our young people, letting the sheepdog have some raw meat to eat this year, in 2013, to keep people's mind off their wallet that's been stolen by the international Jew. The other thing is that, of course, last Saturday was just phenomenal, and I love the way the minister broke the whole history down of what's been going on since he had the encounter on the wheel. And it was just to see how he's being guided to be able to read the minds of presidents and to outwit them based upon his what he's been given, Master Farah Muhammad and Honorable Elijah Muhammad on the wheel, to prove that there is something teaching him that is way above top secret. So it was just fascinating to see how this man is being guided and has this big weapon in his back pocket. So can't wait to hear more about the wheel coming up this week. All praise is due to Allah.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, this is absolutely... I would say the pinnacle of our history, and it is such an incredible blessing to be alive in this hour. But, you know, it's even a greater blessing to be able to attempt to be a Muslim, to just want to be a Muslim against the gravitational pull of Satan's last-ditch effort to stop us from our destiny. And so tonight we want to talk to young people whose future is being laid right now and who will come into full adulthood and produce offspring and be the leaders of the next phase of our development, which promises to be exciting because it's something heretofore unseen. something new, something different from anything that we are looking at in the environment now. And so we have with us tonight, of course, one of the most powerful young black men in America, in all honesty. And I'm talking about Brother Jalil Muhammad, whose resume we'll go into as we go through the show, because already it is off the hook. And Brother Jalil is an activist. He's an intellectual, but he's an activist. And mm-hmm. he has been so instrumental in organizing the college students at the historically black universities and colleges around the country, culminating in a very powerful event this past October at the Holy Day of Atonement in Tuskegee, Alabama. And so we're going to be hearing from him tonight. I want to say to you, Brother Jalil, welcome. First of all, thank you. I know your plate is full, and we are so grateful that you are taking time to join us on Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. It is truly an honor to be on the show this evening. It's always good to be back home with Sister Ava.
All praises due to Allah. And we also are joined by another young sister who's an up-and-coming powerhouse, and I'm talking about none other than Muhammad University of Islam student, Sister Kenya Muhammad, who is also a student in the ministry and has engaged in the monumental task of opening on more than one occasion, numerous occasions, for the lecturers on Sunday right here at the flagship mosque, Mosque Mariam, here in Chicago, Illinois. And she is a very beautiful young sister. Her mother, Sister Michelle, works with the national secretary, and this is just an incredible family. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Kenya, and thank you for joining us.
Well, alaikum salam, Sister Ava, and it is no problem. It is always my pleasure. I'm glad to be back.
Yes, ma'am. It's good to have you back. And
yes,
last and certainly not least, this is a sister who I just met when I was in Newark, New Jersey. I think that was around the 15th or 16th of November that I was in Newark, New Jersey, and I was blessed to be a guest speaker at a very powerful event that was hosted by the MGT and Vanguard in Newark. That is a wonderful mosque, number 25. They have an incredible community outreach component of that mosque, and it's a mosque of family. And one of those offspring of Muslim families is on the line tonight, and she is a pre-med student at Rutgers in New Jersey. She is Vanguard, and this sister, to me, represents she's the future in women in the ministry. And when I heard her, I felt personally that my prayers had been answered, because it is time now for the cadre of female ministers that are necessary to the resurrection of black people to get out there. And so Sister Halima Mahmood is also joining us on the line from New Jersey. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Halima.
Wa alaikum salam, Sister Ava and the family on the call. It's an honor to be on with you all.
Well, the pleasure is all ours, and so we got our full-fledged panel, and we already have people that want to talk to you all. So there's so much to deal with, and so we're probably going to have you all back for parts 2, 3, 4, 9, et cetera. Because if they can have all of these Twilight movies and Shrek movies, and Sylvester Stallone has got to be 90 years old, he's still boxing, then certainly we can keep talking about Islam a little longer.
Yes, ma'am.
But I would like, brothers and sisters, to read some scriptural references. Brother Bobby Muhammad is just a brilliant member of the Elevated Places team and does research for us. And I just want to read something that he lifted from the Bible as an intro to our discussion tonight. And that, of course, is from Matthew 18, 1 through 5. Quote, "At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. And he said, 'Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me.'" And then Matthew 21, 1 through 3, "Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Unite them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away.'" And so that leads me into tonight's discussion and wanting to get from our panel to open up. And this is not anything formal. We're just going to go where our spirit takes us. But I wanted to get your thoughts, Sister Kenya, Sister Halima, Brother Jalil, on these verses of Scripture and the reference to untying a donkey and a colt, and if you see any relationship between that and the need to liberate our young people. And if we do need to liberate our young people, what is it we are liberating them from? Brother Jalil, why don't we start with you, since you are so engaged.
Thank you so much. The quote from the Scripture about the donkey being untied was actually one of the things that Minister Farrakhan shared with me and emphasized to me when we were organizing for the Building a New World Student Conference. He remarked that black students, of course, represent the colt, and that black students are tied specifically. Youth in general are tied, but black students in particular are tied. And he instructed me as I traveled throughout the South in preparation for the conference to speak on that scripture and to declare everywhere we went in preparation for that conference that the master had need of those that were tied. Now, students are tied because students are dangerous. Young people are tied because young people are dangerous. They have theoretically no vested interest in the status quo. And because they are not vested in the status quo, they're dangerous. But they are tied today. They are tied to student loans. So many of our young people who graduate from college are in tremendous debt. What better way to keep them enslaved than to make us debt slaves? They are tied to the prospect of getting a job. And when you're tied in this way, your first and immediate thought is not to do anything for the salvation of your people. Your first and immediate thought is to get a job, pay off loans, and to get a nice white house with a nice white picket fence with a car. And the liberation and salvation of our people are behind our backs and out of the window. And so this scripture is important because it lays the base and provides perspective on what the task must be in the present moment. The task in the present moment must be letting students know that it is not your job to go to school to get a job. It is your job to go to school to get an education to liberate your people.
I can't think of anything more powerful to bounce off of as a platform. I was just mesmerized listening to you, and I'm getting happier by the minute because I know our future is secure. Sister Kenya, what are your thoughts? And just go anywhere you want.
Yes, ma'am. As soon as I heard Brother Gabriel talking, I instantly thought of when the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said that this current generation will bring about the total liberation of our youth. And so, of course, our enemy would like to tie us down to keep us away from that ultimate goal that Allah would like to use us as. And so I guess that's just why it's so important for us as youth to, you know, seek guidance and to become strong in a way as to where the enemy can't, you know, keep us tied down from whether it's music or drugs or any of the things that he uses, you know, as Brother Jabir was just mentioning, to tie us down. So that was a very powerful scripture that you just raised.
Well, let me ask you this, Sister Halima. And, you know, I think that looking back even, and I know, Dr. Ridgely, you and I are from the same time period. You know, when we were coming through school, that's exactly what the emphasis was on a job. And you oft times chose your field of endeavor based on the income potential that was associated with that field of endeavor. For example, myself, I wasn't really gung-ho about being a lawyer, but it was a cultural thing and a social thing, okay? Coming up in a black middle-class family, that each generation should achieve a higher level of stature than the previous. And, of course, that's understandable when you're going back to the 70s, you know, of a mindset. But it seems like we still have that mindset, even when the reality is we're not going to assimilate. So with what Brother Jalil and Sister Kenya are saying, Sister Halima, you're a pre-med. Okay.
Yeah.
You are on your way to becoming a doctor, and so how do you see all this? What are your thoughts of how you're going to weave your way? And that may not be fair, but through this minefield, because we're in transition right now. I mean, all three of you are you're very blessed to be young, but you got a heavy lift. Because you're coming out of one reality into another one. And so what are your thoughts? Because one of the things that, I don't know if it was Brother Terrence that raised the issue when we talked about having you all on, is what you all need us to be doing in order to make a way for you that is would ease your transition. But what are your thoughts about that mindset that has been pointed out about a job and getting tied down?
Oh, well, praise be to Allah, Sister Ava. I think when it comes to that, especially going into the medical field, I definitely see that a lot. A lot of my classmates, they'll say, okay, I want to be a surgeon because, you know, I get paid this amount. I'll be getting this paid this amount a year. Or I want to be a certain kind of doctor because I will be attaining a certain amount of money that maybe another field won't be getting. And this is very dangerous, being able, just thinking that, okay, the person that's on top of you, the doctor who's doing surgery on you is doing surgery on you because they're getting paid a certain amount, is very dangerous. I know for me, when I chose the medical field, it wasn't because of money. first it was I wanted to be a teacher because, you know, I like standing and, you know, speaking to my brothers and sisters, and I just like the feeling of when you learn something, just sharing it with the community. But when it comes to the medical field, I think, or any job in general, I think as youth it's very important for us when we're choosing something, we're choosing because we know we could come back and give back to the community. Like Brother Jalil was talking about how our youth are tied down. And that's very true because now when we're in colleges and universities, we can actually get a bachelor's degree, go all the way to our master's, and we don't even know if we'll still get a job. The time that we're in now, the minister is telling us how we have to separate, because if the white man doesn't have jobs for himself, how do we expect them to give us jobs? So I think at the time that we're in now, we have to realize that even though we are going into the educational system, whatever we choose to do is something that we can give back, something that we love ourselves, and something we could definitely give back to our community. So that's those are my thoughts on that.
Beautiful.
That's very, very powerful.
So David, can I add some stuff
sure.
right quick?
Sure.
And I'm going to try to be finished for the rest of the night. But I knew everybody laughed for that one. So one of the most powerful things that I just want to bring on is something that speaks to my heart. But in 2007, I remember October 15th, who was at Clark, Atlanta, and that same scripture was used by the minister. And he used that in a meeting with the students, I want to say Rich, but it's not Richard, in Atlanta, had a meeting with the students at Clark. And he talked about that, the loosening of that quote. But right after that, I met with Dr. Aleem and Brother Michael for the Atonement Commission, and he said, you know, there was an idea about having a Savior's Day just for the youth. And in 2008, you know, that Savior's Day theme was it's all about the youth, you know. And the minister said from this point on, it's going to be about the youth. So the minister has never let off that scripture and let off that need to empower young people. And Brother Jalil can attest to when he was bringing the minister and the rest of the students were bringing the minister to Howard University that started this whole resurge of the minister hitting the college campuses. I remember meeting with the NOISA on campus, and I broke down in tears because I've come up under student organizations on campus, the NOISA on my campus, and I've come through that. And I understood what it meant to be a student and the struggle to fight. So when you ask that question, what do you want to give back, is give them the opportunity to be students and live that life of growing in a fruitful way. That's what the NOISA was, to give them that spiritual rooting and grounding while they're students in school, but to allow the young people to grow and flourish. So to see a Sister Kenya on the Rosh Hashanah Sunday and to see a Sister Halima speaking now is very much so moving. And it kind of ties into the question you asked, what can we do for them? It's like give them the necessary resources and platform to speak. But not only that, and I would even urge the callers to allow your questions and your comments to be about how can we empower the youth, what can we help the youth with, asking them questions, because a lot of times we put, and I thank Minister Farrakhan for not putting young people over there like, oh, y'all doing y'all youth little stuff. No, the minister allows, and our student national secretary allows young people to be integral, involved, and all of our national labor, let our youth be intricately involved in everything from security, from student secretary, from the ministry. So they're not waiting until they get adults to learn. They're doing it right now. And I thank the minister for allowing that freedom to not stifle the growth of our young people, but allow them to flourish. And that's why you're seeing the products in the Sister Kenya, Sister Halima, and Brother Jalil doing powerful work. And they got whole much work, more work to do, and they're going to take the nation way past. And not only just the nation, the communities in which they represent the minister, they are empowering students from all across the country just based off their representation being amongst them. Other youth.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to start going to the lines. I'm glad you gave that caveat to the callers that let's, you know, solicit from these brilliant minds as much knowledge as we can gain because, you know, to really be a good leader or teacher of young people And, of course, the minister has always been that and then some. You have to have a component of prophetic power yourself, because when you teach, say, for example, a kindergarten class, you're actually teaching human beings to function in and contribute to something that remains unseen. You know, it hasn't been seen yet.
Right.
When I was in elementary school, the world that I grew up in did not resemble this one at all. You know, and so I have to thank my parents for laying a base that kept me open-minded sufficiently that when I heard the minister, I accepted it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather than close my mind down. And that's what I'm hearing out of these young people today. I want to ask you all real quick, though, before I go to the phones, about literacy. And I know, as was mentioned earlier, about all the social media and, you know, the texting, and the minister talks about everybody's head at a 45-degree angle. What do you all think of that? I mean, I'm just going to be – are you all into books? Do you read books? Or – I know you all are, like, super brilliant. What do you do with your time? I mean, how did you get like this in this low life ignorant society?
Well, I think that I try to do as much reading as is humanly possible. As Malcolm said in his autobiography, when I'm not fighting this white man, I'm reading. And if I didn't have to fight this white man, I would be reading. But I think that the key to leading, somebody posted a picture on Facebook once, leaders or readers, I think the key to leading is actually being able to read, and reading a lot, reading not only about what's going on in the world presently, but what happened in the world before you got here. The world has obviously been here longer than we have been here. In the 24, 25 years that we have been here. So the key to being able to lead those who you do not own, who you are not the creator of, is studying up on their nature as much as possible so that you can qualify to lead. Brother Terrence mentioned something that was very, very important, I think, among many other things, and that was highlighting the minister as a revolutionary. He didn't use that term, but that's what I got out of it.
Yeah.
Because he discussed how the minister invests his time among young people. And that's what a revolutionary does. A revolutionary, as you said, Sister David, can see into the future. And that's why the minister has been so invested over a course of decades in the cultivation, upliftment, and development of young people. He sees in us what we don't quite see in ourselves. And among many other things that the minister is, of course, he's a divine leader, he's a divine teacher, and he's a divine guide, but he is a revolutionary in the truest sense, because he defies age. He is a youth. He is an emerging leader. He is a young person. But not in the chronological sense, of course. He is young in the highest sense, and that is consciously. And one of the things, you know, I was reading up on American history earlier this week, and one thing that many people don't realize is that many of the founding fathers of this country, they were youth. James Monroe was 18. Alexander Hamilton was 21. Thomas Jefferson was 33. George Washington was 44. Benjamin Franklin, he was 70. He was the old man of the bunch. But
yes,
they were
sir.
All fighting for an idea. They were all behind a common idea, which was a youthful idea. And that's why so many people categorize them as being a part of the same age range, because it was the idea that they were fighting for the establishment of an independent and sovereign nation that made them all equal, no matter what their age was chronologically. And that is what defines Minister Farrakhan and those that follow him and stand with them. It is the movement to establish an independent and sovereign nation for our people that defines us as all beings, as long as we are in harmony with that idea. And that is what makes the minister revolutionary, and that's what makes his teaching and the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad revolutionary. And that is what is actually inspiring young people and students all over the country.
That's beautiful. You know, you said something else earlier about young people not being vested in the current order. And I think that is so critical for all of us to understand, because it's human nature to protect your investment. You know, whatever you've given yourself to, you protect it. That's why parents protect their children, because they've invested so much in them, from bringing them into the world to sustaining and nourishing them. And so it's so critical to understand that the minister creates for young people because they're disinvested in this world. So what is it that we are giving young people to vest themselves in? That's the missing link, in my view. And that's why our young people are out on street corners and selling drugs and shooting each other in the head, because the so-called leadership, the Negro leadership, has not given our own offspring a vision for their future. And the minister stands alone among us today in offering young people something to invest in, so that you can understand that what you're doing now is going to determine what happens to you tomorrow. And so I love what you just said about eliminating chronological age. It's a mindset. It's a spirit and a mind. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to go to the phones so that the callers and the student panel can engage. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Elevated Places. I am your host, Ava Muhammad, and tonight we are joined by Sister Halima Muhammad, pre-med student at Rutgers University, and she is a member of the Vanguard Nation of Islam, Muhammad Mosque No. 25 in Newark, student minister Kenya Muhammad. And also Sister Halima is a student minister as well, a student minister Kenya Muhammad, who is a student at Muhammad University of Islam at headquarters in Chicago, Illinois, and, of course, the powerful up-and-coming leader. Well, he's already a leader, and that is Brother Jalil Muhammad, who coordinates the students of the Nation of Islam, the college students in particular, and was responsible for organizing the Youth World Conference at the Day of Atonement this past October, and also is key in planning the conference that will take place among the youth in Detroit, Michigan, Saviors Day 2014, coming up next month. And, of course, we are joined by our Elevated Places analyst and contributor, Dr. Rizzi Muhammad, and my co-host, Brother Terrence Muhammad. So we're going to go right to the lines. We've got Sister Joella, who's calling out of Washington, D.C. Sister Joella, assalamu alaikum. You are live on Elevated Places.
Alaikum salam, my beloved sister, Sister Akinya, Sister Lima, Brother Jaleel.
Yes.
Jaleel, okay, Brother Ridgely, and Brother Terrence. It is a blessing to be with you this evening, and it just warms my heart to hear our youth and our children speaking up regarding what it is going to take for us to help them get through this period in terms of separation and becoming independent. And I just wanted to first say that our beloved minister did an excellent job on Saturday regarding the mother plane and how he broke it down to us. And as you were saying, Sister Ava, it also shows that with the mother plane, we have, what, those 15 baby planes? So we need to think of our children as being those baby planes, and the mother plane is going to take care of them. And that is so very, very important for us to help our youth. And it's a book that the minister published, and it's from one of his speeches back in May 12, 1984, and it's called Education is the Key. And I think if our young people were to read this book, it would give them the idea and the struggle to keep on going, because on page 16 and 17 of the book, the minister breaks it down and talks about how when you talk with your grandmother and she says that she hears how the slave master taught and talked about Jesus and raising the dead. She said, but what do you think about that? That's what the child asked. And the child said, but Grandma, I just don't believe. And he said, how do you know these things, Grandma? He said, because, oh, I look at the book, child. What book is that? My book is life, child. Slave master don't know nothing about this book. So if our children were to just read everything as much as possible about what the minister is offering us, we will definitely help them to get through. And as one of the sisters in the mosque, I would like to say that whatever we can do and whatever I can do to help, please just let me know. And I'll continue to listen and let someone else speak. Assalamu alaikum, my beloved.
Wa alaikum salam. And we've got, following her, calling out of the 601 area code, Brother Larry. And let me get his mic open. Brother Larry, you are live on Elevated Places. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. I'm a farmer in Deep South Mississippi, Pine Belt. About a month ago, I traveled to Greenville, Mississippi. And there I met and heard Dr. Reason. What I heard struck me at my core. Called me a couple of days, I couldn't sleep after hearing this truth concerning the farmers and agriculture in North America, mainly the Deep South. That's where I was feeling it at. My family was feeling it at. I met a brother about 3 weeks. A brother and I from Baton Rouge have been talking with each other. And I put together, I called a couple of my farm friends. Most of the people that I deal with farm. And I'm also a machinist tool maker. And, however, my friends and I, we travel to Baton Rouge January 1st. And we had a meeting that was, I think we can do business together in a farm co-op. And I have a lot, I'm getting a little emotion talking. You might can hear it in my voice. However, that's what I have to say. Unless my else speak,
yes, sir.
I think we're gonna make this happen here. It's gonna be a prototype to deal. It's a 75-mile run, but it's a prototype. We can set this up. We can set it up like this all over the country. This is something we have to think through.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you. Panel, you know, we talk about... go ahead, Brother. Go ahead, Dr. Ridgely.
Yeah, that's one of the donkeys right there.
Mm.
You got the colt, and you got the donkey.
Come on. Wow.
The donkey is the one that carries the burden. You know, not everybody is going to do a four-year degree in liberal arts and become a leader or a speaker. Some have to do the work. Somebody has got to fix the tractors, they got to make the tractors, got to feed the people. And this is what in other civilizations, young people at a young age learn how to do something and begin to develop career goals. Over here, they keep the young people from doing anything with their hands or serving in any manner until it's too late and they don't know what they want to do. We have to get our young people more involved in doing something of service, of benefit, of productivity. This is why it's so important what you said, for them to be involved in the market at all different levels and in the community at all different levels and in businesses at all different levels so they can begin to see what they want to do when they grow up instead of them being told what to do from the outside. So, yeah, we got to free both the colt and the donkeys, and we donkeys, we're going to make it happen. So you coaches have something to lead. We have to build some things. So I thank Brother Larry and the brothers down there in the South. There's one thing about it. We still have some skills, and we're going to put these skills to work, inshallah, to prepare a way for our young people to come into, because right now we did not do this. Our goal before was integration. Integration has failed, and we forgot all our businesses. So now we got to develop businesses and to serve people so that our young people can find a place in this new world. So thank you very much, Brother Larry. It's beautiful to hear these young black people who have found themselves and are willing to serve their people.
Awesome. Wa alaikum salam. Any comments from the youth panel?
Well, Sister Ava.
Yes, ma'am.
Sister Ava, when Brother Larry called in and when Dr. Ridley was speaking, I was just thinking about when we were discussing how can our elders, you know, our uncles, our aunts, those we as the youth look up to, empower the youth. And when Brother Larry was talking about, you know, the land, and Dr. Ridley was talking about the land and talking about service, I was thinking about things that can, factors which we as the youth would love to see from our elders. And I think, one, it's love. Two, it's support, which in that support comes trust. And three is setting an example. And just being able to see those kind of things from our elders, I think that will put the youth in a greater position, being able to see support, being able to see love, being able to see that example, like we see in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we see in you, Dr. Ava and Dr. Ridgely and Brother Terrence, just pushing us as the youth to continue striving. I think that's very essential for us.
Oh, thank you for that. That I hope we're all online and on the phone listening to what Sister Alima just said. You know, love, support, and example. And she said, as Minister Farrakhan is doing.
That's right.
And I thought about the Constitution, Muhammad Ma's Provisional Constitution, because one of the gifts that we have to give our children, if we're talking about a nation, and look at what Master Farad Muhammad and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the minister, have given our youth. You have a God, you have a flag, and you have a constitution. You have a law of the land. So the only thing now that has to be done is the land. Because we have the law of the land. We just need that separate state or territory to call our own, and now that is in motion. And so this is how we can, as I'm hearing from Sister Lima, the support, and when Brother Larry called, first thing I think when I hear farming is food. And I know for a fact we have got to get our youth off of this devil's diet.
Right. Mm-hmm.
because it has everything to do with the brain shutting down. Between the diet and the electronic devices,
that's right,
he is making our children almost unreachable. And the only thing I've seen penetrate that barrier is the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, as Minister Farrakhan is giving those teachings. But thank you, Sister Halima. We're going to go on to Dr. Salam is calling in with a question. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Salam, live on Elevated Places.
Wa alaikum salam, family, to Dr. Ridgely and Brother Flight Lieutenant, and to you, Dr. Ava, and to our beautiful guests, Sister Kenya Muhammad, Sister Halima Muhammad, and Brother Jaleel Muhammad. I just have a brief statement and then a question. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan had a lecture in Houston, Texas, and he used this book of Matthew to talk about it. And he said the ash represented the unlearned masses of the people who are tied to, belonging to, they owned you, but not making any use of you. And then they have the young college intellectuals as the young cult. So I'm just so happy to hear these young people, these brilliant soldiers, you know, bringing this kind of truth. And my question is, and I want to ask this question because I want to hear some more of this. The question to each of you is, what is the normal reaction of your peers in college when they hear you recite piercing truth and realities that are unparalleled to their daily curriculums? What is their attitude after they hear you? And Dr. Ava, I will hang up because I surely want to hear the answer to this. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you. That was one of the questions I wanted to ask, because I'm so awed by all of you, your ability to live this life in this world. What sort of encounters do you have with peers, and how do you talk to them or communicate with them?
I'm sorry.
Go right ahead.
This is Sister Kenya, and it's funny because me and my brother was just having this conversation this morning, and I'm actually not in college yet, but he was asking, you know, what is it that we could do to basically get the youth to, like, you know, accept the truth that we're taught and the truth that we're given, because a lot of the time it seems as if they don't even care. Like, even though it's truth, it seems as if it's not directly affecting them and they can see it, they really don't care. So if we tell them that, you know, covering yourself is, you know, respectable and, you know, it shows the sign of a righteous woman, sometimes they can't even see that for themselves and they really don't care that much. But then I was just explaining that for me, what gives the most impact, it has the most impact and is the most powerful, is when they can see you and see the power of the teachings that you're trying to give them. So if you're telling them, you know, the truth, but they don't see a difference in the life that you're living, they don't see you living a better life than them, then they won't be accepting to that truth. So I just feel like we as youth have to be a living example. Because every time, I'm telling you, every time that I go out and I'm literally an example of the truth that, you know, I believe and that I'm teaching, then it's a great response from them. And they're welcoming to it and they're respectful to you and they love it because they could see that there's something different in what you're giving them. But if they don't see a difference in what you're teaching them, then they're not going to accept it. So that's what I think.
Whoa.
Come on, Nets. I want the Nets with Nets.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Beautiful.
But,
Sister Ava.
Oh, no, go ahead, Sister Halima.
No, go ahead,
Brandon. Well, I was just going to say that, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad cited a law in physics, the law of magnetism, which states that like poles repel.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike poles attract. He said unlike repels and like, or unlike attracts and like repels. And when I started my matriculation at Howard University, one of the things that I thought about before I even started Howard, because I had several other institutions that I could have went to, but I chose Howard because I said, it's at Howard where I could make the most impact on behalf of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan. So I started school with the idea of spreading the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad on the campus. You can go to any school and learn about history. You can go to any school and learn about physics. You can go to any school and learn about chemistry. But I wanted to go to the school where there was the largest concentration of black people who would ultimately be able to take the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to the next level, and that's why I chose Howard. Quick story. When I was a freshman, and this is getting to the brother's question about how does your peers react to you, my peers reacted to me in absolute astonishment. But not only did my peers react to me in absolute astonishment, the faculty reacted to me in absolute astonishment.
Right.
And when I was a freshman, when I moved in my very first day after my parents dropped me off, one of the first things I did was I hung up a picture of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad over my bed. And the community director walked in as I was hanging up that picture. And he sat down on my bed and he said, "Brother Muhammad, what do you plan on doing at Howard over your next 4 years?" And I said, "Mr. Stewart, I plan on conquering Howard." And it blew his mind. It blew his mind. And so not only were the students in absolute astonishment, but the faculty had never met students like myself. And I wasn't happy or content with the fact that I was a Muslim follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad on campus. I took it as my personal charge and mission to make followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad on the campus of Howard University. And that is my testimony. That is the work that we did on campus. And when the minister came to Howard, that was the culmination of 4 years of work.
Yeah.
We didn't want to bring the minister to a campus that did not know his name. We did not want to bring the minister to a campus that did not know his teaching. After we had thoroughly penetrated the campus, then we extended an invitation to the minister. And I would charge my fellow young people, my fellow colleagues, my brothers and sisters, to go to school with that kind of mentality. Don't go to school just to get an education. Of course, you're a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You're going to get an education regardless. But go to school with the idea and spirit to conquer.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Wow. Awesome. Awesome.
Sister Halima.
Sister Halima.
Well, I'm crazy to a lot. I'm not sure if I have anything to say anymore, but that was just beautiful, both Sister Kenya and Brother Jalil, your response. But when you both were speaking out, I was just thinking of how we're taught with just taking the clean glass and the dirty glass and just putting them both next to each other. And eventually that dirty glass isn't going to want to look dirty too much. So for me, being at Rutgers University as a sophomore, you know, there's definitely ups and downs. But as a young Muslim woman, especially knowing that a nation can rise no higher than its women, every time I step outside the house, I'm like, okay, I'm no longer just representing myself, I'm representing my nation. And I think as young women, it's very important for us to remember that. Every time we step outside, especially as black women, every time we step outside, we have to realize that we're not just representing just ourselves as individuals. Of course, it is important to know oneself, but we also have to remember that every time we step out, the whole community is looking at us. Our brothers, our black brothers are looking at us, and then the community, other communities are looking at us. They're seeing, okay, how is she representing? The way she represents, she's not just, she's
she stands for the black community. So I think as we're going into, as we're in 2014 and as we go on, as young brothers and sisters, I think we should continue striving to push that. For me, I know modesty is so important, and it should be important for all of us, but just stepping out there, modesty, and it just doesn't come with the way you dress, of course, but with the way you think, with the way you act, and
yeah.
the things you say. Because everything we do, as both Brother Jalil and Sister Kenya talked about, our brothers, our youth, they look at us. And when we're representing the truth, they know. And they also know when we're trying to play with both worlds. So if our foot, if one right foot is in one world trying to be righteous and our other foot is trying to be in the other world of unrighteousness, then we can never succeed, because the time that we're in now, it's separation. If we don't want to separate from the unrighteous, then the unrighteous will eat us up. And that's what it is. The time right now is there's no longer any time to try to linger in both worlds. It's either you accept the truth or you accept unrighteousness. And
yes, ma'am.
That's all it is to it.
Well, I'm sufficiently
Ava,
away.
I just. Yeah. I just had to throw in here one of the things that Brother Jalil said. All of them said the perfect thing, and that's your example, leading by example and letting that light shine, putting up that clean glass. I also want to just add on or just thank Brother Jalil for the students that are watching, whether you're in the nation or not. He said something very critical. For any mass movement on a college campus, you got to thoroughly you have to push one of the things Brother Jalil said, he said he made sure that everybody understood the teachings before he brought the minister there. So in other words, he was actually giving you training on how to make the atmosphere friendly to invite the minister. You're going to always have some opposition, but one of the things he said was, when we used to do stuff on campus, we had administration loving us, we had students loving us because of the leadership that we provided, and then when the administration saw we were good, upstanding students, well-spoken students, well-learned students, grades were good, then the administration would easily back us. So when he brought the minister, he not only had the students, so when the opposition would come amongst them, just like when Minister Farrakhan did in New York, he made sure he went into the community, so when the police came against the mosque, the community came in support. So it's the same thing, that the students will know why they're fighting, because he is thoroughly instructing them on who the minister is. So it
Absolutely.
Wasn't just Brother Jalil bringing the minister, it was the student body at a student conference that was inviting Minister Farrakhan to come to the university.
Yeah, and the mindset of conquest. Because
right.
that is the essence of who the black man is. And so, you know, I'm listening to the restoration, the return of the original man in Brother Jalil and in the sisters. You know, the crucial organ of this body in this hour is the female. Because truly a nation can rise no higher than its woman. And as I was listening to the sisters talking about example, and I recently saw a rerun of the BET Awards for 2013, and I was just appalled. They were giving out, of all things, the Gospel Award. And the sister, I can't recall her name, but she's very beautiful.
Megan Good.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah, everybody remember that point. Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding. So,
yeah.
She was naked. She
right.
She was naked, okay?
Wife of a pastor.
And she was giving the award for gospel. And I, you know, my husband and I were like, okay, it's bad enough that she's, you know, when you can stand out like that in a group of women who are already undressed and you stand out among that, but it said something about the mindset of everybody involved, that all of these so-called Christians and Jesus lovers and saved people, I mean, there were some sisters there that had clothes on that you could have utilized. And I just thought about the effort that the enemy has made to really bring down the female, and misusing the natural desire of us as women to please the man. But a woman has to understand what a real man is. And, of course, you get that through these teachings. But to hear very young women who are at the peak of their beauty and hormonal urges, and I know both of these sisters practice what they preach, you know, Kenya and Halima, but to hear the essence of the black man coming out of Jaleel and the black woman coming out of these two sisters. And lastly, you know, years ago we were at a program put on by the school at headquarters, and they had some of the children singing and doing different things, and it was somewhat of a struggle, the performances. And when it was over, Minister Farrakhan chided the staff. And he said, do not follow the white man's way of just putting children out on a stage and engaging in something they have no gift in. And saying because they're 5 years old, it's so cute. He said incompetence is never cute.
Go ahead. That's my leader.
And he said nobody wants to engage in something they have no aptitude in. So you find out what a child is good in and help them toward that, but don't push them out. I don't want to sit up here and listen to somebody struggle.
Come on.
That's not what we're about. Now, this was like 20 years ago, and so I listened to these three, and I'm like, Allahu Akbar. See, because you're listening to people who are not only good but supreme in what they are doing, and that is what we as black people have to remember. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, do not be charged with mediocrity.
That's right.
You know, so don't, as was said earlier by all of you, don't force our youth into lanes and arenas because we see something white people are doing.
That's right.
You know, and I just hope that
everybody is taking notes on what the youth are teaching us.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we need to take these to heart and our future development in the nation and around the country. And I just wanted to, I was selling papers one day and trying to get to something that Sister Kenya was talking about. And I got in an argument with somebody over the Bible. And when I beat him, he said, truth don't matter.
Hmm.
So what matters? What matters to most people is short-term pleasures. If this truth don't give me no money, if this truth don't give me no girlfriend, if this truth don't give me no clothes, truth don't matter. Now, how do you make truth matter if you don't have the money to give this person or the clothes to give this person? Like Sister Kenya said, when you show a different glass, a different example, and you are happy and you are fulfilled in yourself in that example, others can see that you are happy and you have power. And then they want to know, how can they be happy? Because right now, this world teaches them that the only way to be happy is to satisfy their short-term lust. Okay?
Yeah.
We haven't shown them the other things toward being happy than satisfying their short-term lust, and they have to see us happy at what we do. Me and Sister Ann, we catch hell here at this farm, but I love it. And when people see me, they see Dr. Rizzi always says, how are you? All praise is due to Allah. Why? Because we are living a life. We're not trying to find one. So it's beautiful to hear these three young black people who have, in fact, are living and showing others how to live, and truth does matter because they are showing that it matters to them.
Beautiful.
Sister Ava.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
May I please just quickly, because when Brother Ridgely was just talking, it was exactly what I was thinking on when I first got the original topic of what we were even going to talk about, because I was thinking about, you know, what youth want. What is it that the youth want? And what I, you know, after basically, quote, unquote, examining us by looking at our, you know, Twitters and Instagram and stuff like that, because that's where we're putting most of our thoughts and our feelings into, I realized that what most of us want is just to feel some type of power and to have some type of acceptance. So why do I say that? If you look at the pictures that we put up, you know, what are the pictures of us with money, or it's the new shoes we got for Christmas, or it's the bottle, you know, we just pop for New Year's, or for women, you know, we're dressed, you know, half naked and things like that. Why? Because those are the posts that gets retweeted. Those are the posts that gets us followers, and those things make us feel powerful. But that's really all it is that youth want. And underneath all of that, it's nothing wrong, you know, with the underlying urge and really desire for the youth to want to have some type of power. Because when you think about it, God is one who possesses power, but it's just because it's misguided. So, for example, Chief Keef said that his mixtape is going to raise the murder rate. Not the illiteracy rate, but the murder rate. Now, to him, that's power. You know, to be able to use his music in such a way, to him, that's power. But it's just misguided. And so that's why I just feel like with the help and the guidance of adults, you know, I don't, because a lot of people think that young people are opposed to getting guidance from older people, but I don't think so at all. I don't think young people are opposed to getting guidance. Now, what we don't want, you know, is judgmental adults trying to give us, just tell us what to do and not having anything to put in place for that. But as long as it's out of love and out of genuine care, we can tell when it's out of genuine care or if you just want to rebuke us and want to just tell us something just because or whatever. But as long as it's out of love and care, then I feel like the youth are willing to listen and willing to learn from the mistakes that were already made, so that now when we hear Minister Farrakhan giving us guidance and telling us, you know, as you all were just talking about women, it takes, in order to make a decent man, you have to first make a decent woman. Now, that's power.
That's right.
But it's used in an opposite way as we were using it before, because we didn't know what real power was. So, I mean, we're willing to accept the guidance as long as there are genuine people in front of us and willing to help us. And I feel like 2014 is the perfect place to start.
Oh, my God. Well said. Well said. No one with real power is. You know, because you're born. All of us are born. We are gods, children of the Most High God. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we're so enamored with what the devil has, we don't even realize there's something better. We think this is the best that we could be offered. But Master Farrakhan Muhammad said, what, money, luxury, good homes, and friendship, and all walk of life. And I love what you just said, Sister Kenya, because I think too often with older people, there's condemnation and invalidation of the desire for the better things in life. I really hate that slave mentality that pushes poverty and deprivation, you know, and I don't like it coming from these Negro talking heads over the television and radio who get paid to keep us enslaved and persuade us to be satisfied with nothing and keep telling us to vote when we have exhausted that useless system. It's what you just said, Sister Kenya, force and power. That's God. And that's what we are born to be, but there's a right way to get there. And so people out there, this is what the youth are saying to us, you know, bring it to them, but bring it right. And that is why at almost 81, the minister can keep the youth captivated.
That's right.
Right.
You know, they, all of this attention deficit disorder and bipolar and all this that the devil's making up and projecting, because these are illnesses, disorders he suffers from. You know, all of that is because their world is played out. The light of their knowledge has been extinguished. And so we can't come offering some warmed over version of what the devil has already given. I think that's what we're hearing. There's a rejection of that. So that's enlightening, not only for the lost found, as we call it, because we're all lost found, but for registered Muslims as well. But we're down to about 10 minutes. Let me get, we've got Brother Joseph on, and he has a comment and a question. So we can quickly get Brother Joseph. As-salamu alaykum. Welcome to Elevated Places, sir.
Yes, ma'am. Walaykum as-salam, Sister Ava. How are you?
Wonderful, sir. Just learning.
Yes, ma'am. I'm just sitting here, sister, learning as well. And I thank you all, the panel, the young sister, the young brother, the brother from the farm, my big brother, Ridley, and Brother Terrence. And Sister, I think her name is Sister Alima, she beats on in the morning with Brother Wiley on that FCN-NOI prayer line. And I listen to that sister just about every morning. And now I'm hearing the sister again, and she's just so brilliant. The sister is smart. She knows what she's saying. And she's going to be leading that youth like Joshua led them out that promised land. So I thank Allah for you all, sisters and brothers. And I'm just here sitting there listening. I don't really have too much to say, but I had to share my voice and share that which y'all is doing. And may Allah continue to bless everyone with this time and what must be done. And inshallah, I'll be seeing everyone. Inshallah in Detroit, February for Savior's Day. As-salamu alaykum.
Yes, sir.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Looking forward to it, beloved. Okay, we're going to quickly go to Brother Thessalonian Jackson, calling out of Mississippi. As-salamu alaykum. Welcome to Elevated Places.
How you put the thing in?
Brother Thessalonian? You're alive. Wa alaykum
as-salam,
sir.
Yeah, and your panel, and also your panel.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
I just want to let you know that I enjoyed your program and listen to you very frequently. I'm a member of the Black Farmers Association, and we are putting together a choir in Baton Rouge with Brother Louis Ali.
Yes, sir.
And we're asking everybody to support him. The young man is doing a great work in that area. He's putting together a coalition of Black farmers. So we are seeking all the assistance we can get from abroad, from near and abroad, local and abroad.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Brother Thessalonian. And Brother Terrence, you know, my cell phone is off. We need to get the link for the survey. Do you have that?
We'll get it right
okay,
before
yes,
we go
sir.
Up there.
All right, and while
everybody.
Brother Terrence is getting the link for our listener survey, I'm going to keep going. We've got Brother Shabazz on the line. As-salamu alaykum, Brother
yes.
Shabazz. Welcome to Elevated Places.
Well, alaykum as-salam, my respected brothers and sisters. My question to the panelists is, in the absence of Minister Farrakhan, what would constitute their number one priority in moving the Nation of Islam in the direction they deem it should go? And would each respected panelist weigh in? Thank you.
Very profound. Brother Jalil, would you like to start?
Yes, ma'am, I'll be honest. In 2005, during the 10th anniversary of the Million Man March, Minister Farrakhan basically provided the whole black nation a declaration of independence. On the Mall on Washington, if you recall, the minister outlined a series of ministries that he said would take the nation to the next level. Ministries are designed to service the needs of people. And so he outlined a ministry of defense, a ministry of health and human services. He outlined Ministry of Information, a Ministry of Trade and Commerce, various ministries, the Ministry of Agriculture, various ministries that define nations. Nations are not organizations. They are not figurehead-based. They are inspired by figureheads. They are inspired by personalities, but they are moved by the servicing of their population's needs. And so my role and responsibility that I have taken very seriously is reassessing the ministries that Minister Farrakhan detailed to us those many years ago and populating them with as many students as possible so that we can ensure that when the minister is gone, and even while the minister is here, we are actually transforming ourselves from an organization to a sovereign, independent, self-sustaining nation based on servicing the needs of our people.
Beautiful.
Very
Beautiful.
Good. Sister Ava.
Yes, yes, ma'am.
For that question, praise be to Allah, you know, for that, I was just thinking about that, and the brother brought that up, and I was thinking about our brother, Fred Hampton, when he said, you can kill the revolutionary, but you cannot kill the revolution. And I was just thinking on how different aspects. Now, if the minister, how can I, if I no longer see the minister, what can I do to help our people and to continue to strive? And I think the most important thing is consistency and to continue striving and knowing our purpose. And like in the time that we are in now, we know the importance of separation. And I just wanted to share from the Holy Quran, chapter 4, when Allah says, as for those whom the angels cause to die while they are unjust to themselves, the angels will say, what were you doing? They will say, we were weak in the earth. They will say, was not Allah's earth spacious so that you could have migrated therein? So these it is whose refuge is hell, and it is an evil resort. And it continues to explain that by saying, by those who were unjust to their souls are meant persons who were convinced of the truth of Islam, but chose to remain among the disbelievers who did not allow them to give expression to their beliefs, notwithstanding that they had the means to join the Muslims and avow Islam openly. So I think it's very important for us to understand our purpose and to just continue striving in the way of Allah.
Beautiful.
But
yeah.
We,
beautiful.
Sister Ava, but I end with this, that we should definitely know that no one can ever kill our minister, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, because only Allah has control over our minister's life, and we know that. With Allah and him being the Messiah, there's no way that the enemy can ever touch our minister. So I just wanted
That's
to
right.
end with that.
All praise
and
due to Allah.
And that was so powerful, and I know we got to close out. But
yes,
for everyone, for the survey, for any questions and comments about the shows, you can go to Sister Ava's Twitter page, at Dr. Ava Muhammad, or befriend us at Elevated Places on our Facebook page, and we will have the link there for you to make comments and just suggestions for the survey.
Thank you, Brother Terrence. And I do want to remind us quickly, part two of the will, which is going to be part episode 52 of the time and what must be done. And, Sister Kenya, for is it Chief Keefe and these young brothers,
mm-hmm.
as the minister closes out on last week's episode, tell them, and maybe we can go on Twitter and get the word out to them. And he said, I will show you next week. That's coming up Saturday. I will show you why you don't need weapons. Get rid of your weapons, as the Nation of Islam has done. You don't need them. They want to attack us, but we in the Nation of Islam don't have any weapons. We will not pick up any weapons. We will share with you the teachings of Master Farrad Muhammad. He's bringing to our youth understanding and knowledge of what the real weapon is. So I want to thank this wonderful panel. I want to thank the Elevated Places team. And, of course, Sister Kenya, Sister Halima, Brother Jalil, You have really, really watered our souls tonight. And anything, as Sister said much earlier, anything we can do to move this forward and to support you, you can count on. Assalamu alaikum to the audience, and inshallah, we will be with you next Thursday.
Thank you for listening to and participating in Elevated Places with Dr. Ava Muhammad. Be sure to join us right here every Thursday at blogtalkradio.com/Elevated Places. If you have enjoyed our show today, please bookmark Elevated Places as one of your favorites. And remember, we are all preparing for a brand new world.